You're listening to KNKX. And our next story comes from our show, Sound Effect. Sound Effect host Gabriel Spitzer has more.
For Andrew Sanabria, music is literally what he lives for. And I think I can actually get away with saying literally here.
I mean, I always kind of joked with my friends that, like, music personified me. Like, if it wasn't for that, I really wouldn't have anything to, like, latch on to or, like, really identify myself with.
By middle school, he started joining punk bands, and soon he switched to vocals.
I would jump around and scream, and then in between songs, I would be catching my breath. Thanks so much. Here's our next song.
He didn't think much of it. Andre tended to really throw himself into a show, so the heavy breathing seemed like just a side effect of an intense performance. But then when he was 21, things changed.
At the time, I didn't have any health insurance, and so I signed up for a free clinic, and they checked my temperature, checked my blood pressure, and then they put a little thing on your fingertip to check your blood oxygen saturation levels. And my SATs, as they call it, were at about 88%. They should be anywhere between 98 to 100. If any typical normal person is in the 80s, they're on the floor gasping for breath. And so immediately, like, they went to panic mode. And for a month, it took doctors going back and forth to determine there was a hole in my heart. It's about the size of a nickel. With my lungs, my pulmonary doctors felt that I had pulmonary hypertension. My lungs were about 80% full of fluid. And so I was really only using 20% of my lung capacity. I would almost kind of equate it to breathing through a straw and then jogging up Queen Anne on a typical day where you're just walking down a flat sidewalk. There's no cure for pulmonary hypertension except to get a lung transplant. And so when I was told that I had basically 6 months to live if I don't get a lung transplant, or potentially I will live a year after getting a lung transplant, I didn't really want to die on an operating table. I asked the doctor if there were any drugs to stave off the transplant. His answer was yes. And then I begrudgingly moved back in with my parents. Then I discovered that I didn't have a band anymore. They decided to call it a day while I was in the hospital. And so I bought myself a synthesizer and a drum machine. You know, by God, I'm still going to make music. When you have pulmonary hypertension, most people that do, unfortunately, are confined to their homes. There would be some days or weeks where I was in such, like, physical pain that all I could really do is get up out of my bed to, like, change the DVD and then lay back down and watch another movie. I was totally on borrowed time, and I knew that. So then I did a full U.S. tour in 2006 that I had booked. And so that gave me purpose for half a year. I've got, like, a handful of, like, really good friends. They would go on tour with me. They get everything on stage, and basically I just go up on stage and sound check. And I think I would, you know, kind of, like, save all my reserves of energy for being on stage. When I'd come back from tour, I would almost always be hospitalized. I was running on fumes, but if I wasn't doing this, I probably would have just died on my couch. If I was just, like, watching daytime TV at home, I wouldn't have made it. I don't know. I figured I would just play some music and I'd die, and that would be it. So after about 4.5 years, I was around 25, and my numbers were just getting worse. And so then I started taking this kind of new medication called Remodulin. The medication itself was corrosive, like it burns. It was so painful. The simplest way I could describe it is, like, if you had like a bee sting and like somebody was just scraping it with an X-Acto knife over and over. So like when I would be sitting down and I would stand up, like I would feel like my guts were being ripped apart. But I did notice that once I started taking that medication, I could breathe a little better and I kind of felt like I had like a new lease on life. I guess in between like, you know, like 2005, 2006, I started playing drums with an old friend. The songs are very slow, so I can do that even if I can't breathe. And then we got a record deal and we flew out to Louisville, Kentucky, and we recorded a record. While recording, I also had my oxygen machine, which was great. It could plug into the walls. In between takes, I would have my oxygen machine. And then, oh, we're recording? Okay, I'll shut it off. And then we start playing. And then we did a, I booked a full U.S. tour. And it was probably around Alabama, I believe, where we got caught in a torrential rainstorm and I got soaked. And then I started to get sick. I was in the bathroom and then I just couldn't get up. Like I physically could not get up. My legs were just like dead. And so I pulled out my phone and I texted my guitarist and was basically like, hey, I don't know if I'm going to be able to play the set tonight. And then I woke up 10 days later in an ICU. I'd fallen into a coma. During those 10 days, my partner at the time, she had flown down from Seattle. A couple of my friends from high school had come down. My family had flown in from Puerto Rico. And so when I woke up, all of these people that love me and care about me were there. I realized that maybe it was kind of selfish of me to not at least make an attempt to get a lung transplant. But also being relatively pragmatic person, I didn't think I would live to get a lung transplant. So to humor them, I started, you know, the workup. And New Year's Eve of 2010 to 2011, I was hospitalized. And then I just kind of stayed there. I got out for a couple days. And some friends of mine came up from Portland and took me to a bar to see a show in Tacoma. And then took me back, and I guess they had a conversation after wheeling me into my apartment that might be the last time they saw me. And on the morning of March 28th, 2011, I was woken by a nurse. She asked me if I want to get a lung transplant. If not, they were sending me to hospice that day. And so said, why not? I woke up 2 days later to a new set of lungs. And I took my first, like, gasp of air. And it was full. A lung transplant isn't a cure. It's, you know, the equivalent of if you have, you know, a high performance sports car, which is like every single human body, and then you throw like a lawnmower engine in it, it'll probably run for a while. You don't know how long, you know, you just got to maintain it. I am now 6 years out, and on average, I think people have made it about 20 years. I really try not to think about it in that regard too much, because then that gets me into that point of like this finite, you know, deadline of time. But every day that I'm alive is a day that I might not be.
Andre Sanabria is a musician based in Seattle.